the Yontiv of Sukkos, like the other Yontivim, has many layers of meaning. The primary one, the one that the Torah mentions, that is the most physical characteristic of Sukkos, is Chag HaAsif. So you have three Yontivim. You have Pesach as Chag HaAviv, you have Shavuos as Chag HaKotzer, and Sukkos is Chag HaAsif. Naturally, what that means is that the most physical representation of what it's about is the Zmanim, that are the physical realities, the most basic physical realities of the change of seasons. So Chag HaAviv, we understand very well that the beginning, that everything is sort of dead, there's nothing growing, and all of a sudden you have something bursts from underground out. That's called Chag HaAviv. Its significance is tremendous. A person has put in seeds and nothing was doing, and now all of a sudden it's bursting out. It represents a certain element of Yesh Me'ayin, which also is very understandable, and it represents Avraham Avinu in the Avos. Avraham Avinu was the sort of Yesh Me'ayin of humanity recognizing Hashem Echad, and therefore it all, Avraham is Behi Baram, Bria, makes a lot of sense, the physical phenomena and everything it represents. The second yontiv of Shavuos is Chag HaKotzer. Kotzer is basically the end of human endeavor. From Aviv till Kotzer, a person tends to the field. He had done a Zeria before, but that was kind of invisible. And now he's tending to whatever's growing. It's growing, it's becoming, it's realizing its potential. Everything's realized potential. And with Kotzer, everything takes on its final form. So that's something which is also, it sort of represents Avodah Sodom. It's Avodah Sodom to take whatever potential is latent in Avraham Avinu's Emunah and bring it to fruition. So it represents Torah, which is the Avodah of Adam. It's something, this is what Adam is meant to do and to accomplish. And in of the Avos, it represents Yitzchak. And that also we can relate to very easily. Yitzchak Avinu is the perfect Av. He was the Tamim. He's somebody who was willing to be makir himself, which is the epitome of Avodas Hashem. And therefore, Avodah is kind of Yitzchak. It would be the Chag HaKotzer, because that's the final act of man in having realized the crop and so on. If you leave it on after the Zman HaKotzer, it rots and disintegrates, falls away, and that's that. The next step, the Chag HaAsif, is much harder to understand as being in the same league as the first two. What happens as Yisrael is you leave the stalks to dry out on the ground. When it becomes very, very dry, you thresh it, you gather it and store it. So obviously if you don't store it, animals will come and take it. But it's hard to see that there's a significant act that we would say is part of the essential growing process, the way Aviv and Kotzer is. Asif is just, obviously you're not gonna leave laying around because people take it, so you sort of lock it up. But not much more than that. It's rare that something should happen, that you plant and it doesn't grow happens. That it's growing, it gets eaten up by insects, by animals, it just doesn't grow well, disease, that happens. From the Kotzer to the Asif, it's really, really hard to put a finger on something that is going to be any terrible consequence. Rarely does it rain. When it says by Shmuel, and I'm now going to have Motten Geshem, it's before the Ktsira, that Kufa is not good if it rains, but afterwards, fine. It's not, it doesn't, almost never happens, and that's that. So in what sense, so what is the significance of Chag HaAsif? What does it have to do in particular with Yaakov Avinu? Yaakov Avinu is the one that's connected Sukkos, Mul Mekneos is Sukkos, and Ken Karshmoy is Sukkos, it's Vayevol Sukkosa, and Sukkos is given as connected Yaakov, and we don't find anything in particular that, first of all, we struggle to understand what's unique about Asifa, what's special about it, and secondly, we also don't see any particular Shachas Yaakov Avinu. A second inyan that really we have a little bit of an issue is to understand Zman Simchaseinu. The first two are Zman Chereseinu, and we were told to be Besimcha because Zman Chereseinu, Kodesh Baruch Hu gave us a time of Cheres, that's an awesome time, and therefore, we should be happy with it, okay? Shavua says, is this man not Nereseinu? We should be happy with that. Yes, we're very happy with that. Sukkos is Kilu Zman Simcha, and why? And it's true that the Asif has to do with it, but I would have thought Kotzer. Once you harvest your crop, so at that point, the crop is really, really... it's fully grown, it hasn't been ravaged by animals or whatever, and it's there. There's always a danger, some will steal it, some will take it, but that's minor. And if you ask somebody, when are you happiest, you would say, when you do the kotzer. The osif is necessarily part of it, it's just like you bag it afterwards. I guess after the osif you would bag it, you would... I don't know what you would do with it. Doesn't seem to be really Zman Simcha. And what does it mean as Zman Simcha, where we just focus on Simcha? How, you know, Simcha about what, and so on. So let's talk a little bit about Simcha first, and then maybe we'll try to understand the other parts. The Kuzari says, in his debate of the Chavar and the Melech HaKuzarim, the Melech HaKuzarim asks about why is it that if Kal Yisrael are so spiritual that they engage in mundane matters as well, and as eating and drinking, and basically a point that keeps coming up a few times. Kuzari, his reply is the Torah that wanted us to give every part of the human being its correct measure of ruchnius, and since eating and drinking is part of it, and so on, that's the point that he makes. And then he says there are three emotions that one needs to be over Hashem: Ava, Yira, and Simcha. And he says a person should worship HaKadosh Baruch Hu with all three of them, and any one of them does not bring you closer to Kadosh Baruch Hu than the other one. In other words, having a lot of Yira is, and on Yom Kippur, being extremely, extremely contrite and so on, and does not bring you closer to Kadosh Baruch Hu than being Besimcha on Yom Tiv. So let's try to understand these three emotions, because Ava and Yira are easier to understand. Simcha is the one that's harder to understand in terms of this relationship. So so all three terms are used to describe the relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So Yira, let's start with Yira. Yira is an appreciation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, a recognition of what the Ribbono Shel Olam is. Instead of fear, I would use awe, meaning I cannot be attracted to something that I do not appreciate its value. So until I don't understand Chachma, what would drive me to make somebody's acquaintance and to try and learn from him is only if I have tremendous respect and appreciation for his chachma. Yira is how much is the measure of how much I value the person's maila. Without Yiras Hashem, there can't be real Avas Hashem. Avas Hashem doesn't mean I think Hashem is great and He cares for me and HaKadosh Baruch Hu will do wonderful things for me. That's a projection of a fantasy. Yira establishes Ribbono Shel Olam as the Tmim Deis, the Mani Kol Olamos, and so on. As firmly as that is established, that's how much I can reach out and be drawn to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I want the care of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Das and Chochmah and Toiv and everything that there is good in the world comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and I desire that, and so on. So those two, Ava and Yira, or Yira and Ava, the Baal Tanya lists Yira as the first. It's interesting, the Rambam starts with Ava and from Ava goes to Yira, the Baal Tanya goes from Yira to Ava. Same thing. The point is, both of these are absolutely necessary in order for me to build a Yishar Kadosh Baruch Hu. Where does Simcha come in? So our problem is that we tend the word Simcha, as we translate it in the word happiness in English, is a generic term that means I feel good. I'm happy with the meal. I'm happy with this person's employment, how he's working. I'm having fun, so I'm happy. The word happy in English is a very corrupt word. It just means I feel good. Let's understand Simcha. Not happiness, but Simcha. So let's take a mashal. If we're to ask ourselves, this is not a mashal, it's halacha. If we're to ask ourselves, what is halachically the occasion that is considered to be simcha in essence? So the answer would be nesuin, wedding. The halachas of Shivas Yimei Mishta Docha Avelus, Simcha versus Atzvus, Chosen Kala Docha Sameis, Chosen Kala Simchas Nesuin is Simcha, it's the halachic essence of Simcha. So let's take an example of a husband and wife. I'm interviewing a husband about his wife. Says, tell me what you think about your wife. Evaluate her. She's a tremendous person. I've really met anyone of such caliber and such chachma and such midos inside. Is it beneficial for you to be married to her? Is it kedai? It's very kedai. Treats me like a king, brings out the best, and so on. Do you care for her? Do you find it? Do you feel fulfilled in the relationship? I say, no, I don't particularly care. So that would not be that would not be, nobody would consider that to be a very good answer. Because we have Simcha. Simcha is the feeling that I am fulfilled because of something. So, for instance, a person does very well on a math test, and it's very helpful, but he has no interest in math, doesn't want to become a mathematician. I'm not going to use the word Simcha to describe his emotion. He simply it's something that had to be done with, and that's that. Let's take another example. We can see the contrast. Imagine that my love in life is research, but I need budgets for that. I need budgets for equipment, for hiring staff members, researchers, and for my own living expenses. And someone gives me a big grant of a large amount of money. So the money itself doesn't make me happy. I'm just very, very satisfied that everything's been taken care of. I'm happy about the research I'm doing and whatever I'm achieving with it. A second person, his thing in life is money. And he really, really likes money, thinks of himself and values himself depending on the money that he has. And he's gotten lots and lots of money, same amount the other person got. He's happy with his money. Happiness is a sense, a gauge of personal fulfillment. So those things that make me personally fulfilled, Simcha can relate to it. And therefore, when if I'm married to somebody who I can admire and feel I gain a lot, but I don't particularly care for the person. The person it's not the person that I feel is mashlim me. Then that's not simcha. The reason why nisuin is the ultimate in simcha, why marriage is the embodiment of simcha, is because simcha means fulfilling a person. And therefore, when I have someone when I'm missing something, and every person is a chaser, when he gets married and becomes fulfilled, now he's besimcha. So the third leg of that tripod of relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu is appreciating HaKadosh Baruch Hu, desiring to come closer, and feeling that oneself is fulfilled when he is close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's not just because, I mean, it's great for me, it's good for my business, for my health, for my wealth, because of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's great, even not even great for my wisdom. If being close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu fulfills me, that would be called, that's called Simcha. And that's why it's the third and important point that has to click in. Rabbi Nebuchadnezzar says on the pasuk Or asher lo yokum divrei Torah zois. So it's very unclear. Rambam speaks about it. What exactly is this referring to? I mean, if you do any avera, there are psukim for that, and those psukim tell you what you get, what the punishment is. But what's Or asher lo yokum divrei Torah zois? So he says. The word yakim is like kiyam shtaris, which means to validate. If a person's attitude towards mitzvahs is, they're really meaningless, I'm not a better or different person because of them, but you gotta do it because you're obligated, Hashem said so, or Hashem will make it good for you if you do mitzvahs and bad for you if you don't do mitzvahs, or that is not. That's called Asher lo yokum divrei Torah zois. He doesn't confirm the value of mitzvahs, the world of mitzvahs, and therefore it's something which the person is sorely lacking if he doesn't have that third piece of the leg. That's so the world simcha is the emotion of feeling fulfilled with the mitzvahs and feeling that it has made you a complete person. And you're realizing yourself through mitzvah. You're not just obeying a Kaddish Baruch and doing something for him or for the world or anything. You yourself are a different person because of it. Let's go back a minute to that Chag HaAsif thing. There's a fascinating Gemara. The Gemara in Bava Metzia, in the beginning of Eilat Metzia, speaks about things that are lost. A person loses an object. And then he is not, and then he's given up hope on finding it. That's called yish, and the person's, and the, you know, anyone can keep the object. That's the elementary law of Eilat Metzias. The first Mishnah, however, speaks about a very different case. And the Gemara says it's a very unusual type of yish or hefka. And it's called machnash de bedar. It means as follows. When people spend the time threshing their grain and winnowing it and so on, and you haul in the grain into your storage house, into your silo, so at the end of the process there are bits and pieces left over on the field, and if there's a minimal amount spread over a great distance, we consider that to be hefker. We look at it as the owner kind of dismissing it. Now, that's very interesting because there is no parallel to it inside my closet. If I were to go to somebody's house, look in the closet and see a little bit of cereal left, I can't apply the same law to it. Because that's his And once it's his, unless he consciously stands up and says, "I no longer wish it," it doesn't become hefker itself. This is a kind of unusual situation, and I assume the halacha grounds are because it's so widely assumed to be like that case. But it's striking that between the katzir and the asif, it hasn't become fully yours yet until you haven't brought it in. It's technically yours when it grew on your ground. You did it with your labor. Those are two reasons why it would be yours. It should be yours. But if you didn't bother to make the final thing out of a sense of "I couldn't care less," it's no longer yours. That means that the gathering it into the silo means integrating it into your sense of possession. This halacha is true for Trumas and Maisis as well. You need to have Rias Bnei HaBayis. It needs to have come into the granary in order to be eligible for Maiser. So we would say that the third stage is the stage of integrating it and making it yours. That's a third stage because conceptually, this is parallel to the concept of Simcha that we're speaking about. In other words, you can have Av and Yira, but Simcha is the emotion that expresses that you've incorporated something into your domain, self. It's become part of you, and now that itself has been mashlim you. It has finalized it. That is that third element. Avraham Avinu was the one who started the process, and Avraham stands unique as an initiator, Bihibaram, and that's Pesach. Pesach, we came from being Ovdei Avodah Zarah, boom, to Am Hashem. That's a Yesh Mayim. That's the equivalent of on spring when you see the just a dead ground, and the next morning everything's alive, and there are leaves all over, and leaves breaking through, and so on. Yitzchak Avinu is the world of Avodas Hashem. Your input, you now begin to prune the trees, you now begin to weed, you begin to make sure nothing, no bugs, insects eat it, and so on. And that's the second stage, that's the second phase. And that's Keneged Yitzchak, and that's seen as Yira. The third stage is taking Avodas Hashem and making it yours. In other words, integrating it in yourself. In Yaakov's, the many ways in which we'd see it, but the one place I want to see this, in the halacha of Yisrael, Afar Pishachot Yisrael Hu. Avraham Avinu brought Hakar of HaKadosh Baruch Hu into this world, the father of Yiddishkeit, but not all of his children are Jews. In other words, it wasn't incorporated into his self to a degree that you can't have a child go off. So for instance, let's say I have an environment in my home that fasts X, Y, or Z. It's a strong influence on my children, and they're likely going to follow it, but it doesn't have to be. Something which is genetically engraved, it's engraved in my genes, my children must be like that. The second one is Yitzchak. Now Yitzchak is also, Yitzchak is somebody who is a balavoda, and a perfect balavoda, but he had a son Esav, because it hadn't yet gone and become part of self to a degree that's inseparable. Yaakov Avinu brought to this world the halacha that Yisrael Pesach Yisrael. There is no way, once you're a child of Yaakov Avinu, there's no way you can leave the fold. You can do kol davasa, you can lose your chelkom haba, but you can't stop being a Jew. It means the act that integrated Avoda into the person was Yaakov Avinu. So Yaakov is the Av that's connected to Chag HaAsif. So you have all these parallels and many more parallels of these inyanim that incorporate things into Klal Yisrael. And therefore, Chaga Asif is the Zman of Simcha, because that means those things have become who you are, what you are, be'etzim, essentially. There's a Gra, and the Gra is in a safe, it's in the Gra in Mishlei, but not in the Gra, not in the main Pirush. There's something called Chem de Gnuza from another Talmud of his, and it's something brought down usually on the it's in the back of some Gra Mishlei printed. Sometimes they bring it together in footnotes, but Chem de Gnuza is a Pirush on Mishlei from the Gra Cheder, the Gra. And he explains, this is Mishlei Aleph Aleph, Nechem de Gnuza. I'm using Moshe Rav Kook edition, which seems to be a very good edition. The Goyen says like this, what's the difference between Sosn and Simcha? So the Goyen says, Sosn hu hanor shemishane basigur hadover umispashit besoichoi. So let's give a marshal a little bit, we'll understand what he's going to say soon. There are many things in the world that are enjoyable. So, let's say I eat a piece of chocolate cake. It's very, very enjoyable. A day later, I don't look back and say, "Wow, I'm such a fortunate person. I ate a piece of chocolate cake." You know, I ate it, and that's it. My friend who didn't have a piece of chocolate cake yesterday doesn't sit around and is envious of me in a week from now that I had a chocolate piece of ketchup and he didn't. Let's say a trip to Hawaii. So a trip to Hawaii, when even if I've left, I still reminisce about it. And my friend who didn't go to Hawaii, so while I'm on the beach in Hawaii and he's never sitting and working here, I understand why he's jealous. But a month later, a year later, why is that person jealous? The answer is because the trip to Hawaii has two elements to it. There's the enjoyment of the thing while it's happening, and then there's the sense of me being a person who's been to Hawaii. A certain sense of personal shleimus, of accomplishment, of whatever it is. Let's look at the Goyen now. The Goyen says, Sosin hu hanor shemishane basigo adobo mispasha soche. It's the hanor that a person has when he is enjoys something, and that thing sort of comes into his body. Simcha, he says, hu mashemar lachutz, he shows other people. Ve'af b'kirbo, and he himself also, shemispanik mehadava, that he's been pampered by something, umodia lenafsho godla telos v'samechba, and he tells himself how big of a toelos, how wonderful it is, and he's happy with it. In other words, it is the reflective aspect of whatever tainug you have. So a tainug has the physical enjoyment and the reflection upon oneself about that now I'm a person who's done this, I'm a person who's done that, I'm a person who has this or has that. That's the difference between Sas and Simcha. So Al Kapanim, Sukkos is a tremendous hashlama to Rosh Hashanah and Kippur. Rosh Hashanah and Kippur we undertake to do what's good.
Available and someone's at the door.
Another minute.
Should I answer?
Yeah. And therefore, Rosh Hashanah and Kippur is a time when a person is misaking what's gone wrong. He takes care of the things that, and he fixes it. But there's another stage of Avodas Hashem that goes beyond that. That's to move those things that are ruchnius into ourself, integrate in ourself, feel that we're different people because we're doing right. That's Chag Asif, and that's Zman Simchaseinu.